Corinthians 16, 13 through 14. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13 through 14. Today we're talking about doing everything in love. Now, everybody say do. Everything in love. That means when you're at home, when you're at work, when you're out the grocery store, when you're in the marketplace, in the mall, do everything in love. Do everything in love. The scripture says, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. The Amplified Classic says this, be alert and you're on guard, stand firm in your faith, your conviction respecting man's relationship to God and divine things, keeping and the trust and holy fervor born of faith and a part of it, act like men and be courteous. Grow in strength. Verse 14, Amplified Classic. Let everything you do be done in love. True love to God and man as inspired by God's love for us. Now, that doesn't exempt anything we do or decide or determine in our hearts or minds or lives to do. Do everything in love. Everybody say it with me again. Do everything in love. All right, 1 Corinthians 16:14 in the Passion Translation. The Passion Translation says, let love and kindness be the motivation behind all you do. Let love and kindness be behind the motivation of all you do. So we shared last week that everything we do, decide, and dictate should be motivated by loving God and loving others. You know, we read the scripture in Matthew 22, verse 37, 38 says, Jesus said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first great commandment. This is the first and great commandment. That's the first one. All your heart, all your soul. That means everything you're about. This represents the whole person. Loving God, loving the Lord includes honoring him and willingly obeying him. That means we don't do things that would demonstrate any taint or any shadow of hatred, rebellion, disobedience toward the Lord. We're doing things because we love God. We honor him. Amen. Now he said, I'll go on to say in verse 39 and 40, Matthew 22, verse 39 and 40, he said, and the second is like this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and prophets. So we say, oh, loving God, loving people, or loving God, loving others. Loving others is an interconnected law and commandment with loving God. Amen. We read also Romans chapter 13, verse 8 and 10. It's good to repeat again. Romans chapter 13, verse 8 and 10. Owe no one anything except your obligation to love one another. See, some people think, well, I'm out of debt. No, not completely from a spiritual standpoint. We have an obligation to love each other. That means that's a payment due to our human people relationships that we have on earth. We have an obligation, and we don't do it out of obligation. We do it out of devotion and delight. We do it out of devotion and delight. We love them. Amen. We do everything in love when it concerns them. Amen. Do everything in love. We say everything in love. He said, if you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law. For the commandment says, verse 9, Romans 13, 9, you must not commit adultery, you must not murder, you must not steal, you must not covet. These and other commandments are summed up in one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, he's not using the other words for love. He's using agape. Amen. Love does no wrong to others. So love fulfills the requirements of God's law. And so we said these two commandments, loving God, loving others, are the greatest because they fulfill the law and summarize the new what we call the original Ten Commandments, where all the derivatives of the other 318 something laws of Moses were, you know, comprised of. And we can't remember all 318. I can't. But just keeping it simple, loving God and loving others is the deal. All right? So what kindness and other things does love do or should do to other people? Now, I want to give you some biblical ideas and suggestions here in the New Testament. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 32, it says, stop being bitter and angry and mad at others. Now, because we're so socially connected with media and marketing and social media and all those outlets, sometimes it can cause things to happen in our heart. And we can become habitual in allowing those bad habits to form in our hearts. You know, some people still have what we call internet anger. They see stuff on the news or a breaking news story that comes up, and automatically they don't guard or protect their heart, and they either get bitter or bothered or burdened about something. But here the scripture is telling us, this is in the Century English Version, the CEV, it says, stop being bitter and angry and mad at others. That's a big deal. Don't yell at one another or curse each other or ever be rude. They should post that on 410, 1604, and I-10, I-35 in the mornings and the afternoons, right? Don't yell, don't curse, and don't be rude. Because when people in traffic, they say things and do things that are not necessarily considered outside the realm of rudeness or yelling. I know we have all seen that, right? Same thing on the job, right? That should be posted above the placard in our job. Certainly at the house, right? Don't yell. Don't curse, right? Don't curse each other. Don't be rude. Now, you think how wonderful our houses would be if we stopped being mad, bitter, and angry in our home context, and then we don't yell, curse, or be rude. That sounds to me like doing things in love, right? Now, listen to this. Instead, verse 32, be kind and merciful and forgive others, just as God forgave you because of Christ. What other things does love do and kindness does the love of God do? Pardons others. Number one, pardons others. Everybody say pardon others. Now, some people even get mad, you know, when the presidential pardon comes up, you know, once a year or so, he gives a presidential pardon. And people who have been convicted, or some people felt wrongly convicted or indicted or imprisoned, and they get free. They get let out. Just because he has the ability and the power to pardon people. Well, how many know we got the same ability to pardon people in our lives? Does everybody see what I'm talking about? Now listen what it says in Scripture. Colossians 3:13. Make allowances for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Forgive who? Now, don't look at me in that tone of voice, because some people get mad because some people, I don't know why they act like this, why they treated me this way. And you're playing around with it and toying around with an offense. And don't fall into the trap. Don't take the bait. Don't take the Satan's bait of an offense or being offended. He said, make allowances for each other's what? Faults. Y'all see it right there? Each other's faults. Who in here or who online is perfect? None of us are Jesus Christ. We're all striving to be like him, but we're not like him in perfection sense. We're trying to mature like him. Amen. But we got to grow in love. He said, but part of this is you're parting people by making allowance for other people's fault. If they pop off at the mouth, if they say stuff that you may consider dumb or senseless or insensitive, you got to make allowance for their faults and forgive them. Remember, how do we forgive? You got to deal with what they did or said, the act, and then you got to deal with the attitude, as we said last week. The act is letting it drop, letting it go, leave it, give up the resentment. Sin goes out by the way of the mouth, 1 John 1:9, but righteousness comes in by the way of the mouth. You got to say, Father, I love them. I know you love them. I forgive. How do you release forgiveness? Through your mouth, from your heart, based on a choice, not a feeling. Well, this is good stuff. This is worth thousands of dollars in therapy. I'm telling you. People say, well, I need to go talk to my therapist. No, you need to just repent of your sins. You need to release forgiveness. Come on now, save your money and do what God tells you to do. Right? Make allowances for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Man, if you don't get offended, you'll make it. Amen. Remember, the Lord forgave you. So you must forgive others. So we must develop and should develop an intentional readiness. Everybody say an intentional readiness. And a genuine willingness. Everybody say genuine willingness. And a quickness to be what? Quick to forgive. Now, we describe it as a 5 to 10 second rule. That's, everybody say 5 to 10 seconds. Because that's how long you have before that anger, that bitterness, that animosity, that ill will, that hatred springs up like a weed. I was dealing with grass this week. Now, I know it was February and it was cold, but those weeds were getting on my last nerves. So I had to dig up those. The weeds grew in the cold. My goodness. So I had to bundle up my grandson, put a hat on and stuff. He was helping me cut the grass a little. But I had to go do some, you know, the little pitch thing where you dig and you had to pull up those weeds at the roots. And the Lord reminded me, that's how fast bitterness grows up. Resentment grows up. That anger grows up. It grows up and it develops so many roots. I mean, that thing is stout and strong if you let it grow too long. That's why we say a 5 to 10 seconds, you gotta forgive. We call it instant forgiveness and unconditional love. Amen. So I had to cut the grass, and we had the little baby snake in the grass, a garden snake, and I'd tell my grandson, I'm clear, I got the snake up, because we chopped him, but got him up. Now, he got out one of those warm days, and I guess he got out and got frozen, and done. But we had to, but you got to do that. You can't wait too long to be quick to forgive. Everybody say, I'm quick to forgive. Now, sometimes you have to say that by faith, sisters and brothers. You got to say that by faith, because somebody rubs you like sandpaper, gets on your last nerve. You've got to develop your love walk and response, forgiveness walk. Remember, if you're developing your love walk, you got to develop your forgiveness walk. We said it before, Mark 11:25-26. Your faith will never outgrow your forgiveness. So if I don't grow in my forgiveness walk, if I stay slow to forgive, if I'm mad all night long, the next day long, all week long, I'm walking around with that grudge, that ought or offense in my heart, it's not getting better, it's getting worse. Everything's at stake because your faith is on the line. You can reduce your faith to zero if you hold that grudge. Now your faith won't work because you don't forgive. Everybody say, I'm quick to forgive. Why? Because I need to pardon people. People that cut me off, people that curse me out, right? People that mistreat me, disrespect me, disregard me, make me mad, make me sad. You got to be able to pardon quickly. You can't get your feelings and feathers all ruffled up. And you run around there. Quick to forgive. Everybody say, quick to forgive. How many seconds? Everybody say 5 to 10 seconds. You got to pause for the cause. Pause for the cause. Pause for the cause. That means I got to forgive. I got to let it drop. Let it go. I got to deal with it. I can't just blow off at the handle. Because if I go beyond 10 seconds, I could do it. Then number two, quick to repent. Everybody say quick to repent. This is under pardon others. You can't do it, pardon others effectively if you don't become quick to repent. That means when you've messed up, when you've missed it, when you've made a mistake, when you said something or done something that's out of line. You can't say, forgive me if I've done anything wrong. No, come on, don't put the if in there. If you cause a tragedy or trauma or drama in the house, you got to say, look, I messed up. Sorry. I'm sorry how it made you feel and how it hurt you. I'm wrong. My mistake. Why? Because love is unconditional, but it's also sacrificial. That means it lays down its life for his friend. No greater love than no man than this, than lay down his life for his what? For his friends. Right? Amen. Come on now. That means you take the hit. You take the blame. You take the responsibility why that relational schism now exists. Be quick to repent, because that's the way to recovery. That's the way to restoration. Repentance is a grace. You don't get it when you're sitting there puffed up and proud and defending yourself. Well, I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen today. Quick to repent. Everybody say quick to repent. That means don't walk out and let it fester for a week. Or don't go in there being self-righteous and justifying yourself saying, I was mad at you. We got to learn the language of an apology. We got to learn how to apologize and reconcile. Amen. Quickly. Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So you got to lay down that pride, that arrogance, that egotism, that, okay, I'm just defending myself, or, I'm this. You know, Dan Hagin said one time, preachers and pastors would come. He said, I wouldn't take that if I was you, because they were writing books about him. They were preaching sermons against the faith message. One school system took all his books out, called it heresy, pulled it out of Bible college. I wouldn't take that if I was you. I would defend yourself. Well, if you lay down your life, then why pick it back up? Jesus said, if you lose your life, you'll win it. But if you try to defend and save your life, you'll lose it. Amen. Be quick. Everybody say, be quick to repent. You be the one to make the changes first. You be the one that makes the turnaround first. You be the one to go and try to fix the mistake and make restitution first. Everybody say, do everything in love. Be quick to believe. Everybody say, quick to believe. Quick to believe God, God's word, the finished works of Jesus. But the Bible says, in your Bible and mine, in 1 Corinthians 13, that love believes the best of every person. Now, all this, you know, segregation, discrimination, and partiality, where you let somebody else get away with murder and you don't let anybody else get away with their mistakes. That's all selfish stuff. Love believes the best of every person. Come on now. It's hopes of faithless under all circumstances and endures everything without. So it believes the best of every person. So we don't label them. We don't put labels on them and loser tags on them. Label. How we label people? They're always. You just fill in the blank. You never. Why would we label them something God didn't put a label on? You always, you never. Every time I do, you do this, we label them. Everybody say, don't label, just love. Don't label, just love. Just don't label, just love. Amen. And loser tags on it is we always don't believe the best. We communicate the worst. You always expect the worst of me. That should never be said about you and me. Especially when we call people slow, old, fat. Man, y'all getting don't get uncomfortable. Sloppy, lazy. Anybody familiar with some of these terms been thrown out there? Forgetful. Everybody say, do everything in love. Praise God. Matthew chapter 18. Let's see this. This pardon issue. This is big. This is big. This is big. Look at this. Matthew chapter 18. I'm going to start reading at verse 21. Then Peter said to him, saying, you know, Peter was originally had anger issues, right? He was hothead, he fly off the handle. Some of us can relate to that. And then he says, how often shall my brother sin against me? And I forgive him up to seven times. So he's trying to feed Jesus the answer. Now, some commentaries say he was ready to take somebody down because they had messed him over a couple of times. And he's thinking there's a limit to this. I'm getting ready to cut you now. So you max out the limit of every time you messed up against me. And then now Peter's ready to, I'm an exact judgment on you. Now, what does he say? Jesus said to him, I don't say to you up to seven times, but up to how many times? 70 times seven. Everybody say 70 times seven. What's the math class? What's the math church? 409 times. Now, how many days is that? That's one day. Everybody say one day. What's the implication or the inference here? The implication or the inference is infinitely. Don't put a limit on forgiveness. I would make a note of that. Next to your Bible or next to this verse, don't put a limit on forgiveness. Don't put a limit. Don't put a restriction. If I'm going to do everything in love, I cannot put a limit nor a restriction on forgiveness. Can somebody say hallelujah? Can somebody say praise the Lord? Now, I'm not going to read all the story, guys, but I'm going to narrate it and then go down to verse 35. And so just you can park there for a minute. But he gives an illustration, which is a literal account, about a guy who was a servant and a king. And the king forgave him a big amount of money, a debt. And he forgave him, had compassion on him. Why? Because that's doing things in love. It's doing everything in love. So it says that he had compassion on him and released him and forgave his debt. Guess what we must do? Have compassion on people and forgive their debt. Hallelujah. So Jesus has given us a very purposeful and pointed illustration, a literal account. So the king had compassion and let him go and forgave his debt. A whole bunch. Now, he turned around and got out of prison, this servant, and went and found somebody that owed him a little bit of money. A little bit of money. And what did he do? He choked him. Attacked him. Give me my money. Give me my money. Now, let's not lie in church, right? When people owe us money, particularly in the family, or people demanding money from us, you got to watch when the devil starts talking to your head and making you feel mistreated or disrespected. Amen. And you grow up in a family context where people borrow money from family members. And then you're looking at that family member crazy because they said they were supposed to give me that money 2 days ago. And now you all salty or sideways. Give me no money. Well, we're being like that other servant that choked out the other servant. We're doing it from the heart, though. We might not be putting our hands on a person, but our heart's already turned against that person. Are y'all here? Y'all going home already? We turned our heart against that person. Why? Because we said, well, they didn't do this. They ain't paid me my money. Now we're stepping outside of that directive, which is what? Do everything in love. And guess what? They threw that guy and delivered him to the torturers, the Bible says, that he should pay all the debt was due him. But then he gives us a profound summary statement. Verse 35. So my heavenly Father, do to all each of you, if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Everybody say, Lord, don't deliver me to the torturers. King James says tormentors. Kind of like that word, both of those words. You get tormented and tortured. Now, one of the things that torments and tortures is your faith. Your faith trying to grip and grab the promises of God, and it can't. Your faith is trying to receive from God, and it can't. Why? Because your faith will never outdo or outgrow or outpace your forgiveness. If you have no forgiveness, you and I, friends, will have no faith. Are you listening to me? And you don't want to be living in torment because faith now gets polluted and infected with fear. And the Bible says in 1 John 4 that fear has torment. What is the word, Greek word there? One essence of that Greek word is pressure. And that pressure is like tormenting. We do things under pressure. You're never supposed to do things under pressure. You're never supposed to decide things under pressure. But see, pressure breaks down your faith. But perfected love flushes out fear so that you don't have any tormentors or torturers to your faith, to your focus, to your faithfulness. Well, this is good stuff. Praise God. All right. So number two, love provides for the needs of others. 1 John 3, 11 through 17. This is the message you have heard from the beginning, that you should love one another. We must not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and killed his brother. And why did he kill him? Because Cain had been doing what was evil. What is our theme today? Everybody say, do everything in love. Now, listen to me very closely. This is very serious. I had to come to a realization I can't do things in the dark and really bless and benefit my family. I can't do evil deeds on the side and expect to be a blessing to my family. Because what I do affects them. Why did he kill his brother? He said because Cain had been doing what was evil and his brother had been doing what is righteous. Haterade. Magnifying differences through hate. If I'm doing good, then I'm going to be good and be a blessing to those around me. Because I'm doing things, everything in love. Everybody say, do everything in love. Hallelujah. But how did Cain do it? See, that's what the Bible warns us in Jude, verse 11. The way of Cain. What's the way of Cain? It's the way of disobedience, rebellion, that leads to anger, offense, and murder. Too many people are walking the way of Cain. They won't provide for the needs of others. When we do everything in love, it means when I go to work, I'm doing it because I love my God, but I love my family. And I want to provide to the needs of my family. That's why you got to teach your kids. Family is a business. It's the primary economic unit. Everybody shares in the responsibilities for this house and this family. But if we walk the way of Cain, guess what? We don't think we have to do anything for nobody else except my three favorite people. Me, myself, and I. That's not my job. That's not my responsibility. That's not my concern. I don't care about what happens here or to other people. I'm just only doing things because I want to do them or I feel like doing them. Yeah, don't shout me down. I'm preaching real good right now. He said, so don't be surprised, dear brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. Well, don't worry about that. Don't get alarmed by that. If we love our brothers and sisters who are believers, it proves that we have passed from death to life. But if a person who has no love is still dead, anyone who hates his brother or sister is really a murderer at heart. Now we said hatred starts when you withhold or you refuse to love or to forgive. Now, when I withhold, that means I don't want to give them anything or forgive them of anything. You link it back to what we talked about, So you got to be cautious. That's why you said you can look at Billy Graham said, "Let me 5 minutes with your checkbook or your bank account, and you see what you love." If there's not a lot of giving, there's perhaps not a lot of loving. Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Anyone who hates his brothers and murders his heart, and we know that no murderer has an eternal life within him. We know that real love, because Jesus gave his life for us, so we ought to give up our lives for the others, our brothers and sisters. He said, you got to transcend yourself. You got to get yourself out of the way. That means if you really love, you're going to lay down your life for other people. If someone has enough money to live well and sees his brother or sister in need, but shows no compassion, going back to that other account we read, how can God's love be in that person? Or in this sense, active and operative in that person. Amen. We said it before, we'll say it again. A selfish and self-centered life is its own punishment. Expecting and demanding from others only results in stress, disappointment, and despair. Captured by the reality of the love of God, we are freed to focus on others rather than on ourselves. Focusing on others is where we find joy and deep and abiding friendships. God designed it so that the right relationships is the surest way to find fulfillment and freedom. So we should be outdoing one another because we're doing everything in love. That means we're always thinking about giving and blessing and being a benefit to other people. When you come to church, you come through the door. Lord, who do you want me to be a blessing to? Who do you want me to serve? Who do you want me to help? You're thinking outside of who? Me, myself, and I. Third thing love does, we're almost done, is being polite to others. Polite to others. Number one, pardoning others. Number two, providing for the needs of others. Number three, polite to others. Respectfully regarding others, reverently honoring others, and with true humility, responsive to others with kindness, compassion, and care. When you go to the store, you ask, do you need anything? We always say random acts of kindness should be your mode of operations. You know, when we get to some areas where we're going to really launch out and helping people in need in the community, you buy one canned good or something, you buy two. Because the other one's got a purpose. Amen? Amen. Be a blessing to someone else. Something like that. All right, everybody good? 1 Peter 3:8 says, finally, all of you, be of one mind, be of one and same mind, united in spirit, sympathizing with one another, loving each other, and as brethren of one household, compassionate, courteous, tenderhearted, and humble. Everybody said, let it be me, Lord. Do everything in love. That means we go in. You don't first talk about you and what's wrong with you or what's going on with you. You ask about how you doing. How was your week? Anything I can pray with you about? That's being polite. Not just not pouring out your problems on them. And you don't know how bad they're hurting or how what they have need of. Be interested in them. Not just in what you got to say. Be polite. Hallelujah. Ephesians 3:4-32. Be kind and helpful to one another, tenderhearted, compassionate, understanding, forgiving one another readily and freely, just as God in Christ also forgave you. So we move from our preference and precedence of to others first versus me first. We move from me-ness to we-ness. From doing what I want and giving and doing what others need. From being the bragging big and bad guy to being the godly giving good guy. That's being polite. Amen. Romans 12:9-10 says this in the Amplified Classic. Let your love be the sincere, the real thing. Hate what is evil. Loathe all ungodliness. Turn in horror and from wickedness. But hold fast to that which is good. Love one another with a brotherly affection as members of one family, giving precedence and showing honor to each other. Now, if you look at that in the Passion, verse 10, it talks about outdoing one another in honor and love. Outdoing one another in honor and love. Amen. Amen. That means, hey, you're in a room. Hey, what would you like to watch? Amen. What would you like for lunch? It's a good opportunity to show it today, right? All right, number four, marriage propels our marriage relationships and family life and church life. When love reigns in your marriage, family, and the church, you'll show it in a few specific ways. So it's important to know that love requires your entire being. Love is a daily choice. You have to refuse selfishness. Listen to me. You have to refuse self-centeredness, acting out of strife, bitterness, and resentment, and resisting the temptation to harbor any ill will, animosity, spitefulness, malice, offenses, and hatred that you have, and choose to love and choose to forgive. Every morning, every one of us got the freedom to choose one way or the other. Romans 13:10 says, love does no wrong to its neighbors, never hurts anybody. Therefore, love meets all the requirements and it's fulfilling of the law. So you think about a family, either your natural family, your immediate family, extended family, particularly your immediate family, and then your church family. We all have spiritual needs. We all have emotional needs. We all have physical needs, and we all have relational needs. So you think about the four table legs of needs in a family, okay? Like a table. One of the tables is missing. The table what? Falls over. So spiritual needs is God gives and provides for our spiritual needs via relationships with him. So family should be Christ-centered. Church should be Christ-centered, right? Many people miss that. So they don't have the word in their heart or in their habits. They don't allow the Holy Spirit to be in their heart or in their habits. Amen. You got to have a relationship with God first. It's God first and then, you know, the family or the spouse and children, spouses and children, husband and wife. Amen. Why? Because spiritual needs need to be met. Praise the Lord. And then, of course, ministers, friends, faith friends and proteges, you know, they minister to our spiritual needs. What am I doing now? I'm feeding you, giving you the word of God. That's to meet your spiritual need. It's the highest need you have. It's the most important need you have, spiritual need. You can't skip everything spiritual and expect everything to be well. That one of those table legs is going to fall. Parents need to learn how to put the word of God in their children and how to pray with their children and have a relationship with God first. Amen. Emotional needs, marriage and family, and emotional health, physical needs, you know, water, food, clothes, shelter, etc. And then, of course, relational needs, healthy connections and communications, friendships, partnerships, care, compassion, honor and esteem, and peace. We always say when honor and esteem leaves, peace leaves. When there's no honor to the wife, the husband, the father, the mother, if there's no honor amongst siblings and children, then peace leaves the house. See, family peace is a covenant that we have with God. Should be there. But when honor and esteem leaves, peace leaves. And things get stuck and stinky and stagnant in that need-meeting context. Remember, love is making a commitment to meet the needs of another person. Henry Drummond said this, the moment we really lived in life will be the moments that we really loved. So many people are unhappy. And I'm closing with this thought, guys. I'm not going to go to the next section. So many people are unhappy. Why? Because they've not been loving. Remember, he said deep abiding joy and fulfillment comes when we do everything in love. The moments that we really lived is the moments that we really Would you stand to your feet, please? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit.